2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all of his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel passed by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." He said, "If the Lord doth not help thee, how or when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" And the king said unto her, "What ailest thee?" And she answered, "This woman hath said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him, and I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him also. And she hath hid her son." And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Hallelujah. This is one of the most unbelievable texts of the Bible. It shows a famine that had besieged Samaria. The enemy forces had come in and had isolated them from all outside help. They were eating unspeakable things. The king realized that things had spun out of control to the place that there was no help as far as human hands could offer. It was a time for nothing less than a miracle, a divine intervention. I won't tell you there's some things that only the Holy Ghost can do. Thank God for a Holy Ghost church. Thank God that the Holy Ghost is still available. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Speak to us. Talk to us tonight. We are believing you, God, to do something great and wonderful in the lives of people in this auditorium tonight. We thank you for it. We love you for it. In Jesus' lovely name. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. A familiar form of warfare in Old Testament times was that of the siege. The enemy force would come in and they would surround the city. They would cut off the supply line, the water supply, the food supply, cut off all outside communication with the outside world and help that might come from the outside. And it would not be long and the city that had once offered security and provision would become a prison house of starvation and hunger. This was what happened to the city of Samaria when Ben-Hadad and the Syrian army came and besieged the city. Got a hold of the supply line, isolated them from all outside help. And the city that at one time offered security and provision became a terrible place of starvation and hunger. Prices soared until a donkey's head brought 40 pieces of silver in the local market. They were eating unspeakable things, and the king of Samaria began to walk along the wall looking at the deplorable condition, the starvation, the hunger, the people that were ready to die. And there was a woman that cried out and said, "Help my lord, O king."
And the king looked at her and just plainly told her, if God doth not help thee, when shall I help thee? Hallelujah. Even though he was the king, and at other times probably he had proudly sat upon his throne and felt like he was almost the ruler of the universe. But things got so bad and so depleted that even in the king's house there was not provision. And he was quick to tell this woman, unless God helps us, we're not going to get out of the situation that we're in. There are times in every individual's life when we wake up and we realize that we need something more than what the world can satisfy us with and what the world can provide for us. There's times that human acquaintance and family and friends and mothers and dads don't have the answer to the deep needs that's on the inside of our life. Hallelujah. God did not just create us as temporal human beings that live for a little while and die and then life is over with. But he breathed the breath of life into us and we became a living soul. And there is an eternal part of us. One writer says he has put eternity in our heart. He has made us to where even though that we are children of the dust, we're also children of eternity. And there are times that the temporal things of this life cannot satisfy the needs of our life. And there are times that we find ourselves in places of depletion where it takes nothing less than a miracle to get us out of the situation that we're in. I want to tell you, it's times like that God sets the stage for a great Holy Ghost intervention. Hallelujah. I'm glad that there's times in our life when all outside support is cut out from under us. And we realize that if we're going to survive, it's going to take nothing but the touch of God Almighty in our life. The king looked at this woman and said, if God doth not help thee, how in the world do you think I'm going to be able to help you? Heaven is glad that God's still on the throne tonight. Hallelujah. He is a supplier of our needs according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. In the book of Philippians, the Bible says he shall supply all our need. Hallelujah. And that's singular, not plural. He shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. I don't know if it exactly means what I'm going to say that I feel like it means, but I do believe that this is true. Hallelujah. It's not needs, it's need. There's only one real need that we all need. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, if you get the Holy Ghost need satisfied, and if you get the God need satisfied, you can suffer the loss of everything else in life, and everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Thank God for the provision that God makes for his people. Thank God for what's available in this youth camp and camp meeting. Hallelujah. Nobody has to leave empty. Nobody has to leave disappointed. Nobody has to leave, hallelujah, with lacking things in your life. There's a God that supplies our need according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Well, in such a helpless, hopeless situation, what a terrible picture of a city in siege. Hallelujah. Mothers was actually eating their children. Hallelujah. This woman says, I'll tell you what the problem is. Me and this lady agreed among ourselves to boil our children and eat them. I boiled my child and ate him yesterday. I went over to her house today to eat him, and she has hid her child from me. Hallelujah. In such a terrible, terrible situation, thank God there was a man of God with a message from God. How many is thankful for your pastor, young people? Hallelujah. How many is thankful for the man of God in your life? Hallelujah. In a hopeless, helpless situation, the prophet of the Lord stood forth and began to prophesy and said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley shall be sold for a shekel." In other words, by this time tomorrow, within 24 hours, the situation's going to drastically change. We're going to go from famine to feasting. We're going to go from deadness and lifelessness to revival. Hallelujah. There's going to be bread in the city. Everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. The Bible says there was a Lord upon whose hand the king leaned. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes the king is not so sufficient after all. He may look like he has all the answers, but here was a man upon whose hand the king leaned. And this man stepped forward and said, "How can this thing be? How can this thing happen? Even if God would open up the windows of heaven, how can this take place?" Hallelujah. You know, some people, when they hear the word of faith, they want to take their pencil out and they want to get their tablet out and they want to get their calculator out and they want to try to figure out exactly how God's going to do it and how the situation's going to change and how we're going to go from famine to feasting. And hallelujah. And here this man, and he could not figure out how in the world the situation was going to change. But the prophet of the Lord said, "Let me tell you something, sir. It's going to happen. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it, it's going to happen." How many is thankful for the limited effect of unbelief? Hallelujah. One writer said, "What if there was some that did not believe? Does that make the word of God of none effect? God forbid." Hallelujah. That's why I can tell you today, it doesn't matter if anybody else believes. If you want it, you can have it. Hallelujah. If the person next to you don't care what happens in this youth camp and they leave empty, you can leave with your baskets full. You can leave with a renewing of the Holy Ghost. You can leave with the power of God operating in your life. Hallelujah. How can this thing be? And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what is going to happen. And you're going to see it with your eyes, but you're not going to taste of it." Hallelujah. You're going to be on the grandstands watching it happen. And it's going to happen whether you believe it or not. But you're not going to taste of it. Hallelujah. I don't want to be a spectator in this camp meeting this week. I was soaking up the preaching today. I want to tell you what I want. I want a fresh touch of God's presence in my life. Hallelujah. I don't want to be in the grandstands. I don't want to be a spectator. Hallelujah. I want to be a participator. We got too many people that are satisfied to watch what everybody else is doing and watch everything else that is going on, but they never taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. We got spectators. We've got agitators. We got people that just want to sit around and watch it. We got too many people that's a part of the tater family. We need some participators. What kind of camp meeting would we have this year if 100% from the front seat to the back seat, every one of us would open up our hearts and get the gauge open and get the valves open and say, "Hey, I don't want just a measure. I want everything that heaven can pour out on me. I want something to revolutionize me." Hallelujah. How can this thing be? Well, I'll tell you how it can be. God chose four of the most pitiful people to bring great deliverance to Samaria. It was four lepers that sat outside the gates of the city. They had sat there. They were waiting to die. They were eaten up with leprosy. No doubt they had wives and children inside the city. They saw the plight of the city. And they began to talk about the horrible place they were in. And finally, one of them raised the question, "Why sit we here until we die?" Hallelujah. There are times in our life that life and Satan or God, or sometimes it's God, puts us in a place that if we're a mind that just sit where we are and we don't have any fight in us and there's nothing that reaches out for more and we lose all desire and hunger for God, I'm going to tell you something. God will let you sit there and die. Hallelujah. The devil will see to it that you sit there and die. He'll squeeze you, hallelujah, until there's not an ounce of God left in you, an ounce of victory left in you, an ounce of faith in you. There comes a time that a church, young people, hallelujah, has got to say, hey, I'm not going to sit here. I may not feel like worshiping God, but I'm going to worship God anyway. I'm going to start climbing the well. I'm going to do something on my own to try to get God's attention and have Holy Ghost revival in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you, this army was relentless. This army was not even going to have to fire a shot. But they've got a hold of the jugular vein in that city. They had cut off the supply line, and there was no mercy in their heart. And there's a spirit of hell in our day and time that wants us to sit back and be complacent and indifferent and with a no-care attitude and live carelessly and just drift through a camp meeting without God touching us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. God, shake us this week in this camp meeting. Let there be a divine interruption. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've never got anything from God until I got desperate, until I got hungry, until situations got impossible. I want to tell you something, especially young people. Don't let the devil minimize you. Don't let the devil minimize you because you don't feel like you have the talents of some people and the abilities of some people. God's just looking for somebody to get in His hands. Four lepers got in God's hands and started marching toward the enemy camp. Get your pitch on paper out. There's no way to figure out how that victory's going to come out of this. But God begins to magnify the feeble steps of four lepers. It becomes so noisy when it reaches the ears of the enemy. It sounds like the noise of a host of soldiers. It sounds like chariots. It sounds like the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians. The imagination of these Syrians just run away with them. Till they were so gripped with fear that they jumped up in the thickness of the dark night and fled for their lives. And these four lepers, when they come on the scene of what they think is going to be the worst battle of their life, there's no enemy there to fight. Now, I've seen that so many times in my life. The very thing that I thought was going to destroy me was the very thing that made me. Hallelujah. I look back like David looked back and had to say this. It was good for me to have been in trouble. Hallelujah. What God done was just set the stage for a miracle. Set the stage for an impossible divine intervention. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen this week. I wonder whose life is going to be forever changed this week because somebody gets hungry, somebody gets desperate, somebody just grabbed hold of whatever they got to grab hold of. Hallelujah. And says, hey, I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to give whatever I have to God. These four lepers get to the scene of the terrible battle they think they're going to be in. And they get to looking around and there's nobody on the campsite. Hallelujah. They go up to the tables and they're loaded with food and it's still hot. Hallelujah. Somebody left here in a hurry. They left their plates, hallelujah, full and untouched. Hallelujah. I can't imagine this. One leper went in one direction, one went in another direction. One goes and looks in the tents and he comes running back and said, I can't believe this. They must have left in a quick hurry. Hallelujah. This guy left his billfold on the nightstand. He didn't have time to get his money. The other guy came and said, hey, you ain't going to believe this. Hallelujah. Horses are there. Just tied to the hitching posts and the saddles are still on them. They got in such a hurry to leave, they didn't have time to jump on the horse. You got to be in a hurry when you don't have time to jump on your horse. The devil, I want to tell you, God knows how to handle the devil. God knows how to handle the spirits that's plaguing you in your life. Somebody here tonight can shake the devil off your back. Somebody here tonight can get victory against the things that have taunted you and, hallelujah, tried to, hallelujah, keep you starved and shut down and shut out. Hallelujah. Well, man, they get to eating and they're just stuffing their tote bags full of gold and silver and they're giggling like four little girls. Until finally one of them says, hey, we do not well. This is the time of good tidings. This is an hour we need to be telling those folks in Samaria that still live behind the walls of intimidation that God's already given us the victory. There's a lot of people sitting here tonight behind walls of intimidation that God has already given you the victory. Hallelujah. Some of the times what we're going through is more our imagination anymore than anything else. Because God's already taken care of it. He's just looking for somebody to get up and claim the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, friend, they went and they gave the message to the Samaritans. God's already taken care of it. Hallelujah. Victory's here. There's bread in the camp. Hallelujah. And, friend, there was bread there. And the old fellow that said, it's not going to happen. There was so excitement in what took place that they trampled him to death in the gate of the city. But God gave great victory. They went from famine to revival. Oh, 4 nights is what we've got. 4 days is what we've got left. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God's wanting to do something. God's wanting to do something great in this camp meeting. But the devil uses the same tactics tonight that he's used in the past. He wants to shut us down. He wants to isolate us. He wants to get us off where we think we're by ourselves. I guess almost every backslider gets to where they think that nobody cares anything about them. And God doesn't care anything about them. And they're all along in the battle they're in. And nobody's ever faced the problems I faced. Because the devil is the great isolator. He comes and he sets siege on our life. And he cuts off the supply line. He cuts off the water supply and the food supply. The manna quits falling from heaven. And we quit getting that we need in our life. And he starts making us believe there's nothing to be found anywhere. Where the world is just a vast place of famine. Hallelujah. But can I tell you tonight, God's got a heaven bulging with good things. He's got more revivals than we have churches. He's got more miracles than we have needs. He's got more healings than we have diseases. He's got more answers than we have questions. There's enough of the power of God in this place to go around. Nobody has to be isolated. Nobody has to be cut off. Nobody has to leave this building and not empty. You can get what you need from God tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you, God designed for this church to be a victorious church. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is designed to be a lifesaver. The church is designed to be a lighthouse in a dark world. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be hope for the hopeless. Hallelujah. We've got a powerful gospel that can still save those that are lost without God. Hallelujah. I thank God for an old-fashioned apostolic Pentecostal Jesus name. One God holding his church. I'm glad there's still a bunch of people that believes that, hallelujah, that what we are is right.
right. We've not lost our identity. We're proud of who we are and what God has given us. We're not looking somewhere else in another realm for the answer to life's questions. We're not trying to trim line this message. You need to thank God, young people, for a pastor that's dying for the truth, that's fighting, hallelujah, for this old-fashioned apostolic message.
I want to tell you what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to isolate us. The devil wants to water us down. Hallelujah. The church is designed to be a lighthouse. It's designed to be a life giver. But he wants to turn the lights off in our churches. He wants us to become weak and anemic and washed down where there's no power, where there's no deliverance. Hallelujah. Where there's no victory. I want to tell you, the devil realizes when saints of God, when young people, when a church, hallelujah, as a whole, is getting what they need, the church is too hot for the devil to handle. And a Pentecostal conqueror is still more than a conqueror. And when you're getting what you need, you're too hot for the devil to handle. You know what a more than a conqueror is? That's a guy that can go through the worst battle of his life. And when he comes out on the other end, he is victorious. But he don't just barely make it. Hallelujah. He goes through the worst trial of his life. And when he comes out on the other side, he's got a surplus of power left over. Hallelujah. He's not depleted and lost everything and held on by the skin of his teeth. But he is more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. God's given us what we need to handle this world. It doesn't matter how dark the world gets, where iniquity shall abound. Hallelujah. The grace of the Lord shall so much more abound. Somebody said, I'm looking for a new experience. There's nothing wrong with the old experience. You just got to get full of it. You just got to get your attention on it all over again. You got to get focused on what the answer really is to life's problems.
Hallelujah. What does the devil want to take out of our life? There's some things the devil wants to isolate us from. One thing he wants to isolate us from, hallelujah, is what Brother Martin preached about. Hallelujah. He wants to isolate us from a move of the Holy Ghost. He wants it to become more fashion and semblance and just a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Hallelujah. He wants us to get in just the mechanics of running and shouting and human emotionalism and the music and the drum beat and all of that. And thank God for all of that. Hallelujah. But the essence of what it's all about, hallelujah, we lose that. We quit tapping into that life-giving flow, that well of living water. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, it's in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. Hallelujah. If there's any victory here tonight, it's because of Him. If there's any power here tonight, it's because of Him. It's in Him that we live. If there's any life here tonight, it's Holy Ghost life. In Him we have our being. If we're going to exist, if we're going to survive, it's got to be because of the power of the Holy Ghost. It's in Him that we move. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you, this thing's on the move. This thing is on the move. This camp is on the move. Hallelujah. We got the direction today from the elder. This camp is on the move. I've seen it in local churches. People get in trouble when God moves and they don't move. Hallelujah. You know, what God's in today, He may not be in tomorrow. There's different administrations and different moves of God's presence and this river of life that we're living in. I want to tell you, a river's got a lot of bends and turns and crooks in it. Hello, you got to be on your toes. You got to be sensitive to what the Holy Ghost is doing. You don't get a speedboat in a river and just push the throttle all the way to open and start flying down the river. You'll end up stuck up in some mud bank somewhere. Hallelujah, because rivers has got turns and they've got
twists and twists. And you know, some people, some churches, they get in a rut of singing the same thing. The same. You know, it worked last week, so we're going to try it this week, and then we're going to try it next week, and then we're going to just keep on trying it until it's just not there anymore. Hallelujah. And some people, God moves and they fail to move. The church moves and they fail to move. That's the reason when revivals are going on, people need to have their ears in tune. And they need to sit up in their chair and they need to get their eyes open and realize, hey, God's moving. I don't want God to move and leave me behind. The children of Israel, when they pass through the wilderness, the key to their success, yes, was move when God moves. There was times that God didn't move. There was times that God just hovered over the tabernacle and the fire was there and everybody needed to be there. There were other times that all of a sudden they'd wake up and they would hear a noise and movement and hey, what's going on around here? I believe ever so often in the night maybe some of those men would lift up the tent flap and look out toward the tabernacle to see if the fire was still burning and if the fire was still there. They realized that the pillar of fire moved in the night and they didn't move with God, that the jackals of the desert would consume their flesh and their bones would end up complimenting the desert sand. If I'm going to be alive, I got to be where God's at. If my clothes are not going to wear out, I got to be where God's at. If I want to be full of the manna that falls, I got to be where the manna's at. Hallelujah. There's still water running out of the rock, but I got to get to where the rock's at.
People pay a tremendous price when they miss the move of God in their life. These people were isolated. The Bible says they were paying 40 pieces of silver for a donkey's head. I am told you are what you eat. I have tried to pastor a few people. I think they've eaten at that table. Stubborn as a Missouri mule. Hallelujah. The Bible says they was eating dove's dung. I don't want to get crude tonight, but I want to tell you, dove's dung is not where the dove's at, it's where the dove's been. You can't survive on where God's been. That's what happens to denominations when they start hallelujah, congregating around some golden calf. And this is just as far as we're going to go. And this is what life is all about. Hallelujah. We can't do that. We got to move when God moves. Hallelujah. This thing doesn't revolve around personality and organization and all these. I want to tell you, it revolves around God. Jesus is still the main attraction. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. They started practicing cannibalism. This is an unbelievable story of some of God's people and what they degraded to. Mothers boiling their children and eating them. I've seen churches devour one another. I've seen young people start devouring one another. You know, it looks like a bunch of young people in the kind of world that we're in, where Satan is so possessed the minds and the lives of our world. Their tattooed bodies, their scarred bodies, and hallelujah, all their piercings and all their weird haircuts and the spirit of hell that's vibrating in the lives of this generation. I want to tell you, they're against us, and there's a hatred that is boiling and growing in our world today. Hallelujah. God only knows what we're going to face in the next few days and months and years. As the apostolic church, it looks like everybody that's a part of this faith that's rallying around the name of Jesus and holiness, we ought to be supporting one another. We ought to be encouraging one another. We ought to be admonishing one another to good works.
Hallelujah. Sometimes it seems like that's just the opposite. All of a sudden, some kind of disease starts operating among young people. Hallelujah. Texting all kinds of filthy junk on their cell phones and talking about the newest thing on the internet and trying to encourage each other in immorality and ungodliness. My God, it's time for young people to get to where God is, get to where the fire is, and to the fire of the Holy Ghost can burn a bunch of that garbage out of your life. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Several years ago, I was preaching a revival meeting in Indianapolis, and I went to the zoo, my wife and I, and I was standing in front of this huge outdoor holding area where there was a bunch of baboons. They're sitting all over these rocks, and the sun was shining down on them, and these little fellas was busy. They're all busy on the fella sitting next to them, reaching and digging and looking under their armpits and picking stuff up. Hallelujah. Looking behind their ears and in their ears. And I felt like one of those old prophets in the Old Testament. God's trying to tell me something. Hallelujah. The longer I look, the more they look like some church folks. Hallelujah. Here they were. They were all flea bitten, eaten up. But all worried about the fleas on the next person. Hallelujah. All trying to clean up the next individual. Hallelujah. Kind of like the fella said, faults in others I can see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. You don't want to start an old-fashioned revival in this youth camp. If we'll forget peer pressure, we'll forget what anybody else is doing or has done. We'll quit worrying about everybody else and get lost in the Holy Ghost and let God touch us and renew us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The devil wants to isolate us from the true move of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something else that the devil's army wants to do when they try to surround our life and they start working on us. They want to isolate us from the Word of God. They want to isolate us from preaching. They want to isolate us from what's going on right here, right now. Hallelujah. When all of a sudden the light starts shining deep down inside of you, and all of a sudden it's not you and everybody else, it's you and God and the preacher, and God's talking to you, and the Word of God is working on you. Hallelujah. Oh, I want every person in this building to take this personal tonight. I got to hold on to God's Word if I'm going to survive. I can't be isolated from this book. Hallelujah. It is a book of life. It is a book that tells me where I've been, where I'm at, and where I am going. Hallelujah. The devil starts with the little questions in people's mind. That's what he started with Eve when he came to her. He didn't say God's a liar. He didn't say God hasn't told you the truth. He inserted a little question mark. Hath God said? We got some people that got a question mark for a brain. Sometimes the biggest problem is between our ears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes people start doubting their beliefs. Hallelujah. You ponder on that long enough, you'll start believing your doubts. Hallelujah. Doubting your beliefs and believing your doubts. I'd rather believe a few things for sure than a bunch of things for maybe. Hallelujah. The philosophers always wanted to raise a lot of questions and didn't have a lot of answers. But I want to tell you, this is the book of answers. Jesus spoke as one that had authority and not as the scribes. He had an answer to life's problems and life's questions. And I want to tell you, God's answer is still within the lids of this book. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for a church that's built on preaching, that's built on God's Word. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Young person, if you want to know where you're standing, look at the Word of God and let the Word of God be the final court of appeal in your life. If you want to look where you're headed, look at the Word of the Lord. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Hallelujah. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I've heard some preachers talking about reevaluating their beliefs. There's some things don't need to be reevaluated. It's still the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Believe the Bible and I'd obey the Bible and I'd read the Bible more if I could understand it. It's not the parts you don't understand that bothers you. It's the parts you do understand that bothers you. Some of us having plenty of problems just obeying what we understand. Don't let the mysteries of what you can't figure out keep you from believing the Bible. Won't you start working on what you know you ought to do? When people start, believing what they know they ought to do, they'll start understanding more things. The Bible says, by faith, we understand. Some people around the church say, I don't understand this, I don't understand that, and preacher, I just don't understand this. I don't understand why we can do this, we can't do that. You don't understand because you don't believe. You start really believing what you know.
Holy Ghost Radio. We are Acts 2:38 Salvation Message compliant. Are you?
That the Acts 2:38 message is the basic message of Christianity. If you don't believe that, I want to be nice to you, but I want you to tell me why you don't believe it. We don't have to explain to you why we believe it. You've got to explain to us why you don't believe it, because that's the man with the key.
Holy Ghost Radio. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
And I'm not just trying to hype you up, but I want to tell you, this is one message that's not going down. It doesn't matter if it's pre-modern, modern, or post-modern. This message is hot, it's cutting edge, it's on the level, it's always going to be powerful. You can never outlive its power.
Visit our website at www.holyghostradio.com.
And if you want to be relevant, then preach Acts 2:38. Because that's the message that's relevant to every generation.
Hallelujah. The word of the Lord. I thank God for a sure word of prophecy. I like where Peter was talking about the transfiguration. He's talking about seeing Jesus and Moses and Elijah. That revelation on the mountain. Boy, that was phenomenal, wasn't it? To be there ought to change anybody's life forever. Don't you agree? But he tells about the transfiguration. And after he gets to talking about all that, he says, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. We got something better than a dream. We've got something better than a vision. We've got something better than a transformation of an angel or a person or even Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. We got this right here. I want the word of the Lord to be the authority in my life. I don't want to isolate myself from what this book says. Hell, I don't want to just read it like it's some kind of buffet that you walk down and you pick what you want and you leave the rest. Hallelujah. There needs to be a revival of God's word. Hallelujah. One last thing today that the devil wants to bring a siege on in our life. He wants to isolate us. He wants to isolate us from the man of God in our life. I know this is simple preaching. I've come here this week to do what I can do best, and that's preach simple. But I want to preach to people. I want to preach to you young people. You better realize the importance of the man of God in your life, the preacher that's in your life. Hallelujah. The preacher's under attack. The world don't understand, we that live in Canaan's land, how that things are different from they are in Egypt's land. We're not Egyptians, but we are Israelites. We are the people of God. Our thoughts about things, our value system is different. Hallelujah. We're not like the charismatics, the cruismatics that cruise around and they never really submit themselves to anybody, and they want to be entertained, and they want to see what a church has to offer them, and hallelujah, what will please the carnal feelings of their life. We are apostolic people. Hallelujah. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in the power of God and the presence of God. But we also believe in the man of God. We believe that a man is going to be a part of our salvation. I want to tell you, friend, you can get the Holy Ghost and get as much as you want there. If you don't listen to the man of God in your life, you won't have it very long. And you can read your Bible and you can memorize your Bible, but somewhere along the way, hallelujah, you say, well, the Bible is anointed and it's light. I want to tell you, you need some light on the light. And that's what the pastor does. Hallelujah, the pastor helps you to understand what's being said. You know, the Bible says that Ezekiel saw visions of God in Ezekiel chapter 1. He saw these cherubims, and they had six wings, and they had four heads, and all these mysterious things. You start reading about it, and this is a vision of God. It's a vision of God's work in the earth. It's a vision of the church. Hallelujah. These weird looking, they weren't like just ordinary angels. But the Bible says underneath their wings there was the hands of a man. Hallelujah. You know, most creatures either have wings or they have hands. I don't know of anything that has wings and hands, but this thing that was a vision of God and a vision of the church was equipped with wings, and it was equipped with human hands. You know, if we get to heaven, there's going to have to be a ministry of wings. There's going to have to be a ministry of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's going to have to be a divine work of God in our life if we make it. But I want to tell you, there's something under those wings, and that is the hands of a man. Hallelujah. God Almighty became a man to save the world. God still uses a man. Sometimes your pastor's working on something in your life and you may not quite agree with it. And all of a sudden the Spirit starts telling you, well, that's just his opinion and that's just his ideal, and he's old fogey and he don't understand it. Look at that. He's got the hands of a man. He's got the hands of a man, and he's got hands that is going to have to be on your life if you make it to heaven. And the devil wants to isolate us from the man of God in our life. Well, you've got to be careful following the man. Well, I want to tell you, there's a check and balance system in all this. You find the man of God with the Word of God, with the Holy Ghost in his life. You got the Spirit, you got the Word, and you got the man. And it's a balance saving us. Hallelujah. Cornelius had to have a preacher to come preach to him and his household. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that Paul was in the middle of a storm. And they had threw about everything overboard, and they had lost all hope of being saved. And the Bible says the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. Verse 30. And all of a sudden Paul stood up and said, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. This is one of the most misquoted scriptures. Hallelujah. People talk about you better stay in the ship if you want to be saved. Well, I'm going to tell you, you better stay in the ship if you want to be saved. And that's the truth. But that's not what that scripture says. That scripture says the shipmen were about to escape out of the ship. The guys that knew how to handle that thing. They were in a storm, and they had been working on it for about 10 days. And it looked like they had no control over the storm.
But when God finally came on the scene to save those people, that none be lost, even though he was on the scene and he could have done it, he refused to do it without the hands of a man. And so Paul said, except these shipmen abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. You better thank God for the man of God in your life. The Bible says, to him that is taught, he needs to communicate with him that teacheth. I want to tell you, you need to stay on speaking terms with your pastor. I said, you need to stay in communication with your pastor. Hallelujah. God's going to enable him to see things that nobody else sees. Thank God, I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe in prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers. I believe that God's hand in the church is a five-fingered hand. And I believe that hand's going to help us get out of this world when the world's on fire. But oh, that pastor, God puts him as a watchman on the wall to help you, to keep his hands on you, to have his fingerprints on your life. And if you got to push up and shove up and get other people out of the way, you better get close enough to the man of God that God has influence in your life. I don't want to be isolated from my pastor. If mom and daddy gets messed up, hallelujah, I'm not going to allow them being messed up isolate me from the preacher in my life. If my spouse, if my husband, if my wife gets all crossed up and starts trying to allow that offense to get over into my life, even though I love my spouse, I'm going to try to be faithful to my spouse. I got to have the preacher in my life. I'm not going to allow anything to isolate me. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God for a preacher that'll preach the truth. You know, the men that's acquainted with this camp meeting are men of conviction. That's why I feel so honored to preach every night. There are men here that don't look at people's filth instead of their soul. Hallelujah. There are men that are preaching the 10 commandments instead of the 10 suggestions. There are men that will love you enough to tell you the truth, even though that it may jeopardize their relationship with you. There are men that love the body of Christ. They love the saints that they pastor, but they love God more than they love the people that they pastor. They're not just interested in quantity. They're interested in quality. And they're trying to get a church ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not a weather vane that looks and finds out which way the wind is blowing and they point in that direction. They're not a politician. They're not a dog that doesn't know how to bark. One prophet wrote, God was speaking, that he had a problem with some of the shepherds because they were not valiant for the truth. Thank God for hot-hearted preachers that are valiant for the truth. Thank God for a fire in the pulpit and fire in the pews. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can't put live chicks under a dead hen. Hallelujah, we've got something worth fighting for. That's the reason there's a camp meeting going on. And I want to tell you what else. We value fellowship and one another's input in our life. We're not a bunch of lone rangers. We're not full of rebellion. We don't want to be gods over God's heritage. We want to be submitted to those that are around us because we understand also if we as preachers are going to be saved, it's not just going to be the wings of the Spirit where we're floating around in the seventh heaven and we know more than anybody else. We realize we need the input of men that are watching, looking at us and ready to help us. We can't make the journey alone.
I don't want to be isolated. I want fellowship. I want to be in the middle of what God's doing. Oh, when the fire falls throughout this week, I want to be where the fire's falling. I don't want to sit in a bunch of, in a crowd of people and just be there isolated by myself with my little fence around me and manna falling and the water running out of the rock and nothing ever really touched me. Is anybody hungry tonight? Anybody hungry tonight? Anybody looking for something, hallelujah, beyond anything that you've ever had? I'm hungry, God. I'm desirous, God. I don't want the enemy to isolate me in this last hour. Jesus loved the world enough to tell them the truth. He loved the rich young ruler enough to tell him the truth. Hallelujah. There are people that like to isolate others sometimes that hang around apostolic churches. Sometimes young people will come and they'll try to grab hold of you when you're in the middle of trying to do right and live right and get you off by yourself and start telling you stuff. You know, the devil will start throwing stuff in your brain. Is this really what it's all about? Is anybody really living for God and serving God? I want to tell you, there's a bunch of people that's never bowed a knee to Baal. Hallelujah. There's a house full of young people here tonight that's made up in their mind, I'm going to stay plugged in. I'm going to stay plugged in. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay plugged in. I'm going to get what I need in this youth camp. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God wants to do something right here tonight. The next few minutes. Hallelujah. The next few moments has got the potential of changing something in somebody's life. I imagine every preacher here can look back in their life and they can tell you a story of when it seemed like their whole future and their whole life was hanging on the hinges. The small hinges of a moment's time maybe and a decision made. Somebody needs to break out of Samaria. Hallelujah. Somebody's lived, been inhibited and intimidated. And maybe other things that you've been eating that's nothing but trash and garbage and donkey's heads has spoiled your appetite for the heavenly things that God wants to give you. Hallelujah. I haven't spent this time preaching just to be preaching a sermon. But I want to tell you the Holy Ghost here tonight can do something for somebody. Hallelujah. I remember several years ago in a youth camp when God touched me. I mentioned a little bit of it last night. What if I'd have just laid on that bunk with the tears rolling down my cheeks and said, I'm going to wait. I'll wait until it's more convenient. I'll just wait until the next altar service. But I want to tell you something caused me to move when God was moving. And I thank God for my pastor's son that was there. God used the hands of a man to help me. Take me out of that dorm and take me to that big old tabernacle. That at that time had, I don't know for sure if it had sawdust floors at that point or maybe they had the concrete by then. Hallelujah. But I got on my knees and I started praying. And I wasn't praying because some preacher was twisting my arm and it was altar time. But there was something deep inside. I wanted to get it for myself. I was wrapped up in music. I was wanting to be a concert pianist. Started going to Lamar University. I was in the ninth grade of high school. planning for the Van Clyburn competition. And I'd have never made it. I didn't have the talent to make it, but I had desire. And it was misguided desire. Hallelujah. Played for the choir and the stage man, played trumpet. I made a commitment that night and I went to back to school, my 11th year of school. And I told everybody I'm through. It had been my life, it had been the thing that possessed me. But I look back and I think, what if I hadn't prayed that night? What if I'd have put it off? What if I'd just... It scares you when you think the door of destiny turns on such small hinges. This is not going to be the banner night for a lot of people, but I want to tell you, this is a night right here tonight for somebody. God's talked to somebody specifically tonight that's been isolated and you feel bound up and you feel like there's a tourniquet around your neck. You've been fighting to, you feel like you're just a spectator. You're watching what everybody else is doing. Maybe you do shout a little bit, but you're not feeling anything deep inside. And there's a crack in the wall tonight. You need to make a dash for it. I'm going to tell you, that's really the way it is. It's not that you just, you know, for the rest of your life, you never make any more decisions. It's just freestyling. No, you fight every day of your life. But I'm going to tell you, people look back at a great moment in their life when they really made a decision. A rich young ruler that had been doing a lot of things right, he met Jesus one day in his life and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I want to tell you what one of his problems was. He was wanting to know the bare necessities. What must I do? In other words, I don't want to do any more than I have to do. Completely opposite from the Apostle Paul when he was struck down the road to Damascus. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And that rich young ruler that was so promising that when he left, Jesus was brokenhearted over him leaving, never to be heard of again. There's moments in our life. I want you to bow your head tonight. There's moments in our life when we make that big decision. There's going to be some people that's going to come and they're going to pray a little while and they're going to leave. And that's just the way it is. We're not going to live in the altars. But I think there's somebody here tonight. There's a young man here tonight. There's a young lady here tonight. Destiny's calling you. Hallelujah. It's going to be okay for a lot of people to pray a little while and go to the hamburger stand. Maybe tomorrow night will be their night. But right here, hallelujah, God, I don't want to be isolated. This is my night. I'm going to tarry until I get what I need. Something deep inside of me has got to happen. Something's got to take care of the Syrian army that has besieged my life. Hallelujah, I've been isolated long enough. Walked away from the well of living water and I'm in a dry desert area. I got just enough water to get back to the well. I've got to turn now. I've got to respond tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you young people's already made that decision. Why don't you find somebody and pray with them tonight? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.